Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Ogunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right. It's good to have you again. This show is called The Week Ahead in Russia, and today we're going to talk about one thing that lies ahead this week in Russia, President Vladimir Putin's annual press conference. It's on Thursday, and it's mainly remote this time due to the coronavirus. Now, Putin doesn't often make much of any big news at this event, but he does use this annual press conference to send signals about positions on issues in Russia and abroad, and also to kind of bolster his image or burnish and work on his image. Now, this year, despite modern technology, it looks like Putin's press conference is not going to escape being changed by COVID. The Kremlin says it will contain elements of the direct line, which is a different show, a more of a Q&A, ostensibly with the Russian people rather than the press. And that's another one of his annual set piece events that he uses to kind of build or maintain or project his image. So this time the press conference is going to have elements of that, which means presumably that people who are not journalists will also be calling in or and submitting questions. And my guess is that he's doing this because he's afraid the kind of Zoom-style conference, I guess, will drain the event of some of its customary kind of circus atmosphere. Usually there are hundreds or maybe more than 1,000 journalists in a big room, some holding signs and such to try to get Putin's attention or the attention of his press secretary. So I think probably he wants to add back in some of that, rather than have it be more like a normal press conference. Irina, what are you expecting from this?
Well, Steve, first of all, there will be a journalistic gathering that day. Right now, the capacity of the hall where journalists will be sitting during this press conference is 247 journalists. The authorities say that they will be seated in a safe way with a meter and a half distance from each other, wearing masks and sanitizing hands. But 247 journalists is still a lot. By the way, this year, the new regulations are that they cannot bring in signs that are bigger than a four format page to attract attention of Vladimir Putin. I would disagree a little bit that Putin didn't make news with this event. I think that at least one time it was really all over not only media, but also social media, when, for whatever reason, during the press conference and during the online interaction with Russians, they started to put the real questions, not the questions that were prepared for Mr. Putin, but the real questions that came online. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that those questions were much more negative than the one that that were kind of asked on the screen, but they were written right on the screen, and people really criticized, and there were questions like, when will you finally resign, and stuff like this. So that was a highlight of the Putin's appearance in public. This year, yeah, you're right that there is now the special website and the mobile app where you can ask a question. It's even in video format. Unfortunately, you cannot see I just checked this website. You cannot see the questions that were asked already.
I see.
But according to the volunteers who help to sort and prepare and select those questions, the most topics that people are worried about are online education, COVID vaccine,
mm-hmm.
and what it looks to be compulsory vaccination, some questions about COVID pandemic and economic situation connected to it, some questions about pension funds and money that keep on disappearing from the budget. But to show you how manipulative this might be, I can tell that one of the reports right now says that two areas that are very active are annexed Crimea,
mm-hmm.
Where people are asking about the shortages of water,
right.
Water supplies, and allegedly Sakhalin, where people are very worried, I'm quoting here, very worried about the timetable of the construction of the bridge with the mainland.
Right.
I can tell you that yesterday there was the most massive protest in Sakhalin in the history of Putin's rule. And that was not about the bridge. That was about the construction of the airport that was chosen, which left a lot of people jobless and without any money for their existence. And the company that started construction, the new airport, also went bankrupt. And now this whole construction is being given to Alexei Berg, who is one of the famous Putin's friends. So people were really against it and really against the influence of Putin's friends in their area. You know, none of this is being reflected right now in the reports about the questions that Putin is getting through the app.
That's interesting. Well, first of all, Irina, thanks very much for pointing out, I guess, my error about the way the press conference is going to be held. As you say, I think you said 247 or so journalists in the hall, which, so that's some kind of will be a combination of in-person and then online. So thanks for that. Your point about Sakhalin, you know, it sounds like it's kind of a way for the Kremlin to sort of manipulate things, you know, ahead of time. But he does use it, of course, you know, to address some local kind of passing off problems to governors and things like that. Now,
by the way, this exactly what actually attracted attention to one of his not press conferences, but online communication with Russian people. It's when addressing the local issues, when one of the guys in Siberia complained that they cannot buy the car,
right.
And Putin replied that, why do you need the car if you don't have roads? that became a meme, and in Russian media and in Russian social media. So that really attracted a lot of attention to Putin, but very negative, very negative. That
right.
was a sign of complete arrogance, and that was treated by the people like this. And right now, they're trying to attract attention to Putin's press conference, because this morning, Putin's press secretary, Peskov, actually advised journalists to ask a question, who ordered the killing of Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov. Allegedly, Putin knows who ordered this contract killing. So Peskov gave a hint that journalists should ask this question. Of course, after this, I think that might be the first question that the journalist would ask.
Yeah, that's very interesting as well. Absolutely. I guess let's talk about some other things that he might mention now. You know, Putin obviously does address whether he's asked about whether in a kind of a choreographed way or in some cases not. He's asked about all the big events, big things going on in the world, in the West usually. And this one, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of the focus is on COVID and the vaccine. You know, I guess for Putin, this is going to let him. You know, he's going to be speaking as the vaccine is coming in. But it also comes in between Joe Biden's election in the United States and his inauguration on January 20th. So clearly, Putin will be asked about and will comment on relations with the United States as well. Irina, what would you say are the most important issues that he could or should be asked about? The coronavirus, the economy, foreign policy. What would you be interested in hearing him comment on?
Well, first of all, the Biden elections, Putin already commented actually on the relationship of Russia with the U.S., saying that the thing that is absolutely bad, the thing that is actually ruined, the relationship with between the U.S. and Russia cannot get any worse. So you cannot spoil something that's already spoiled.
Right.
So that's his attitude towards the elections and the prospects of relationship with the U.S. I think that if I were given the floor, I would really ask about economy and about the so-called counter sanctions. Putin imposed after European Union put into effect sanctions related to the annexation of Crimea mm-hmm. in 2014. So those counter sanctions actually sanctioned European products, mostly dairy products and fruits and vegetables from Europe. As a result, the prices on food went up. The recent study showed that Putin's slogan that we will start our own Russian domestic production of milk, butter, and stuff like this, cheese, of course, this slogan didn't materialize at all, because what happened was Russia started to buy those products from the third countries that actually import European products, and then we export them to Russia. This puts the prices on food much higher. And right now, with the COVID pandemic and with the very difficult situation in Russian economy, in Russian households, with drastic decrease in income of Russians, because so many lost a job temporarily or completely, so many bankruptcies in the country. This really hurts people a lot. Even the traditional Russian salads that each family prepares during New Year's night is now 1.5 times more expensive than last year. So that shows a lot, and this is completely self-made by Kremlin.
So absolutely, that would be an interesting thing to ask him about, and I assume he will. I've read about you mentioned the third countries. Seen reports about products coming from Europe and then being sold to, say, Latin America and then coming back to Russia. So obviously that's, adding some steps there.
Or Belarus, that all of a sudden became one of the greatest producers of shrimp and salmon.
Right. landlocked country there. So I do see also that Putin has been talking about prices the last few days ahead of the press conference, about pasta prices, macaroni, and telling the government to do something about rising prices. So I guess we'll see more of that in the event itself, and we'll see what else is touched upon on Thursday. All right, Irina, thanks very much. We're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up. Thanks a lot for joining me again.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. And please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.